Hey, everybody. Welcome to the River Valley Podcast. My name is Kirk Graham, flying solo this week. It is Masters Week. I don't know if you're a golfer or you enjoy golf, but it is the premier event every single year in the world of golf. Masters in Augusta, Georgia. And I don't know if you're watching. I don't know who you're rooting for. You rooting for Tiger, Rory, Bubba, Ricky. If you're not a golfer, you've already turned the podcast off. Just kidding. Hey, want to just recap where we are in the life of our church. And we're still kind of flying high after Easter weekend, seeing almost 600 people respond to the message, respond to the gospel message, and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. And it's just incredible. Add to that this last weekend, dozens more across the house. And I love what God is doing in our church, just hearing testimony after testimony of family, friends, neighbors, new people, that their lives are being totally transformed. We're kind of wrapping up at all of our locations, wrapping up our core group season. Many of our small groups, the winter season is kind of finalizing, and many, many people that are going through Alpha for the first time, or Freedom and Empower, Explore, all of those core groups. I know Sisterhood's been running, Promise Principle's been running. We've got young adult groups. And so this winter season has been full of discipleship, full of life change, full of people growing in their relationship with the Lord, hundreds of people giving their lives to Jesus, seeing more new people than ever before. I think just in the last 2 weeks, actually before this last weekend, I was looking, in the last 2 weeks, almost 400 new adults that, participated in some way, shape, or form, signing up for a team, a group, checking in their kids, signing up for an event like Freedom Encounter. Maybe they gave, tithe, or Kingdom Builders, but 400 new adults, which add to that their families. Our church is growing. We're reaching more people. And just circling back real quick, we've got Freedom Encounter this weekend. And as I'm recording this, maybe you're listening to this later, but just Freedom Encounter is an incredible day and a half event that we host a couple times a year. And this week is at our Eagan campus. We've got already almost 300 people, or over 300 people, registered, and it's not too late. If you're listening to this this week, this is coming out the second week of April. You can register at our website. And just explaining, like, for future, if you missed it, it's all good. But for future, the Freedom Encounter really is for anybody. We believe that you're set free from sin and death at salvation. But there's this process called, and it's a big word, called sanctification. The process of sanctification is God making you more like Christ, molding you more into the image of Christ every single day. And there are things, after you give your life to the Lord, there are things still that the Lord wants to set you free from. And maybe that's different fears or insecurities or addictions or mother and father wounds or whatever it may be, lies of the enemy in your mind. And Freedom Encounter really is that, to pursue greater freedom, greater security, greater confidence in the Lord. It's for freedom that Christ set us free. And I love that. That's a scripture verse. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. And so because you've been saved, the Lord wants to save you. Because you've been set free, the Lord wants to free you. And I just love that. And if you've ever thought about, what's the Freedom Encounter and should I be a part of that? Is that just for, different types of people? It's like, no, this is for you. And it can totally transform your walk with the Lord and your life. And so that's Freedom Encounter. It's coming up. Also this weekend, we've got people ready to get baptized. There's water baptisms across the house. And just in the first quarter, our church, we baptized over 100 people, and there will be this weekend over 100 people that get baptized. So I heard testimonies last night. Actually, I was at a global team meeting. We're going to Barcelona in July, And with a global team of 25 people, they were sharing different families and friends that they know are getting baptized this weekend. And I think it was at Maple Grove campus, there are multiple families, whole families, that are getting baptized together that have never been water baptized. I know at the Egan campus, there's a whole bunch of people ready to get baptized. And across the house, again, just there will be, I'm believing there's over 100 people this weekend getting water baptized. And again, just circling back to the vision for the year, one of the things that Pastor Rob set as a goal is to see our church baptize over 800 people. And so that's what we're going after, and believing that we know that people, that many people are giving their lives to the Lord, even just on Easter. But the next step is going through the waters of baptism, a great faith step and public declaration that I'm living for Jesus. And so just loving what God is doing in our church. And I want to talk a little bit about this last weekend, Pastor Rob, standing on the Word of God in just full conviction that the Bible is the source of truth and God is our highest authority. And so with what we're dealing with here in the state of Minnesota, and I'm not going to re-preach the message, but just with what is at stake in the state of Minnesota in regards to religious freedom and also religious exemption, and also how we as a church should love those that are far from God and love those that are dealing with gender dysphoria or that would identify themselves as a part of LGBTQ plus community. I thought this weekend's message was amazing. Pastor Rob talked about Romans 12 and talking to people. If you are somebody that struggles with gender dysphoria, one thing, just the only thing that I'll explain from the message without re-preaching the whole thing, he used Romans 12 to say, if your mind does not agree with your body, and that is the struggle of gender dysphoria, if you're born male but your mind is battling lies of the enemy, thinking you're female, or just it's a mental battle or struggle. When your mind doesn't line up with your body, and also vice versa, if you're born female and your mind is you're telling yourself or you're believing this lie, like no, you're male. The world of the trans community and LGBTQ community and even just worldly culture today is that we're gonna alter our body to agree with our mind and alter body, and maybe you don't even alter your body, but maybe it's how you dress. You're going to dress like a female, or you're going to dress like a male, and not agreeing with the gender. And Pastor Rob just taught Romans 12, and saying no, that's actually not what Scripture teaches us. It actually teaches us that we should keep our bodies the way that they are and pray for transformation in our minds. And I'd love to just read this scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. So I'm going to actually make a sacrifice saying my mind doesn't agree with my body. I'm offering my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Isn't that awesome? That's actually a form of worship. And verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So don't be like the world. Don't do what the world is telling you to do. That's not the solution. Here's the solution. Be transformed, not by the renewing of your body, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when your mind and body are not agreeing, no, we're going to make our mind obedient to Christ and our bodies as well, but the Lord can totally transform our minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so Pastor Rob just kind of explaining that, and also just saying if you are somebody in that community or somebody that's struggling with gender dysphoria, you are welcome to worship at our church, and we want to love on you, but we will stand on the word of God and really believe that that is when we live our lives according to the word of God, that is what leads to the abundant life. Something that Pastor Rob is kind of praying through for later this year is, are we going to do a series on the abundant life? And I think the entire world is pursuing the abundant life, you know, pursuing what is going to bring pleasure, what's going to bring happiness, what's going to bring comfort, what's going to lead to a joy-filled life. And everybody's pursuing it. And the world has a way or a thousand ways to really pursue their version of the abundant life. And God's word is very clear. And the way of Jesus Christ and how he lived and who he is, we believe that following Jesus is the way to the abundant life. And there's an answer for every problem in the world. We can find it and those principles in the word of God. And so if you're out there, no matter who you are, where you come from, what you're struggling with, and what your view of the church is, you are invited to worship with us and to search the scriptures and to hear the truth of God's word and to go on this journey of how can I be more like Jesus Christ? What we believe is that's going to lead you into an abundant life. And so I'm so grateful to be a part of our church. I'm grateful for Pastor Rob preaching that message and also excited to see how it helps us as a church stand in our convictions, but also love those. So it's truth in love. Love those that are far from God or that need God or that are struggling or that may come in and worship with us while we search the scriptures together. And so, yeah, just grateful for that. And transitioning now, we got a couple questions that came in. And we'll see how many we get to. One's from Jackinator, a great question asker. He's been asking a few different questions here and there. What small or simple thing has significantly impacted your relationship with Christ? And that is a great question. And I'll just share this. You know, there's a lot of things that have significantly impacted my relationship with Christ. I think I'll just share a few different things. One thing was just better understanding the love of God and what his grace and mercy mean. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting something you do deserve. And so thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. But I remember growing up, even as a pastor's kid in the church, that every time I would do something wrong, and depending on the severity of what I did, my mind and my emotions and how I felt was that God was upset with me. And he for sure was upset with the action. Like, he's not for sin, and he's not for what I did wrong. But being a Christ follower, I really thought, like, until I felt clean, until I felt like God was happy with me again, you know, after a certain track record of good days, then that was how God saw me or how he felt about me. And that is actually wrong. What is true is that when we give our lives to Christ, our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, that we're covered by the blood of Jesus. So while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And even in our sin is forgiven. And there's not enough time to really talk about apostasy or falling away from the Lord, which we do believe that you can live for Christ and then also later in life reject him and fall away. But without getting into that, growing up, that's not really what was happening to me in some of those different wrongdoings. And I just a fresh perspective was better understanding that even though I feel the guilt or even the shame, and the shame does not come from the Lord, but holy conviction comes from the Holy Spirit, comes from the Lord. Even in my sin was forgiven, and God the Father looked at me through the lens of the blood of Jesus, that my sins have been paid for, and that I am in right standing with God, and he loves me He loves me on my worst day as much as he loves me on my best day. And when I got a revelation, like I really understood and felt that, man, that helped me get over kind of the shame that doesn't come from the Lord much faster. That shame is not from him, that he's not saying like, hey, when you're ready to get your act together, you know, I'll come back and surround you with my presence, you know, and I'll be back in a week when you really learn your lesson. Like, that's just not how God works. And so I'm so grateful for his grace and for his mercy and for what Jesus did for us on the cross, that our sins, past, present, future, could be covered, and that God loves me. He looks at me with the lens of what Jesus did, and he looks at me with love. And so that's a smaller, simple perspective shift and revelation that significantly impacted my relationship with the Lord. Another thing is, without getting into my whole story, there was things that I was addicted to in high school, and I was running from the Lord in high school, and I was struggling, but there were moments I wanted to be set free from those addictions, and I would go to the Lord, and then I would fall and fall again and fall again. And I remember just, Lord, set me free, just remove the temptation altogether and help me. And it wasn't until I made the decision to get in the Word of God every single day, whether I wanted to or not, whether I was hungry for it or not, whether I had a lot of time or not, it was a personal conviction. And this was late in high school and then leading into the early days of college. I'm in the Word of God every day, not because I was made to, not because I was studying for something, not because I had to preach something. No, it was because it was my relationship with the Lord. I'm pursuing Jesus. When I did that, the Lord set me free from those addictions. I was totally transformed. And the temptation, it's not that the temptation was completely removed, but things that would bring me to my knees, that I would fall into temptation, I no longer dealt with that. And I no longer had the appetite for the addiction or the sin. And God did remove that, and he transformed me and made me new. And it was a simple shift to spending even a little bit of time in the Word of God every single day. And as I did that, my life began to change. And so there's many more things that I could explain, and sorry if that feels too simple, but hopefully it helps you. Like, even as I reflect over the last, you know, 12 years of marriage and having kids and just building a family, there have been seasons where, you know, I get a little bit more lackadaisical with spending the time. And as a pastor, you can really qualify your time with the Lord as like sermon prep, or, you know, prepping for a leadership teaching to our staff or something like that, which includes scripture. And if I've gotten lackadaisical in my personal relationship with the Lord and entering the Word of God, that is where I have felt just a lack of covering or protection or just security or confidence. And man, when I get in the Word of God, there's a scripture that I've been thinking about a lot more lately, and it's, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. And I really view the Word of God as pursuing the name of the Lord, pursuing relationship with the Lord, pursuing him. I'm running into the strong tower by waking up and spending time with God in the Word and in prayer, just talking to him and journaling. I'm running into the strong tower. And when we do that, we're safe. We're safe. And we talked earlier about how even in our failure, we're forgiven and God looks at us with the lens of love. But also, and we hold it in tension, also, I can choose not to run into the strong tower. I can choose to be exposed out there on my own by not pursuing him. So I've just seen in my own life that when I make it a priority to spend time with the Lord every single day, for me, it's in the morning. It's the first thing I do. I'm running into the strong tower, and I feel a covering, a safety, a security, that I am in the refuge. I am under his wing. I am safe in his hands. And so let that be an encouragement to you. Thanks for the question, Jackinator. And here's another question from Sid Hadassah. Thank you for this question. Do you think secular therapy is a detriment or a benefit for the Christian mind? And what a great question. I am not a professional counselor, but it is actually, it's probably a longer conversation than we have time for today. I know that there is real trauma that people go through in this life and in this fallen world. I know that there is real crisis that people go through, that therapy, going to a therapist or a counselor, is really an amazing option. And it's something that can be incredibly helpful. And I do believe that there are therapists out there that may not call themselves a Christian that could have some good tips, tricks, tools, helping walk through some, helping someone walk through a traumatic event or crisis care or something. And so I definitely don't want to devalue that in any way. But if you're talking to me, if I am somebody that's going to pursue therapy or a therapist or a counselor, I am going to look for the best Christian counselor. There's many reasons for that. But again, if you have the option, which we do, to pursue help, I'm always going to pursue Christian help. I'm always going to pursue wisdom from somebody that has the same worldview and biblical view as me as a Christian. So I'm looking for somebody that views the Word of God as the highest authority, that is a Christ follower, that is giving wisdom, that is also wisdom not just from the greatest human minds, but from the Bible. And so I'm not here to say all secular therapy is bad, but I am here to say that if you're pursuing a therapist or a counselor, if it was me, I'm pursuing the best Christian counselor. And then I'll say this, there's a book, it's a newer book called Bad Therapy, and it is a secular resource, but it kind of describes the world that we're living in that, you know, not everything needs therapy, and we've kind of outsourced parenting to therapists. We also, just in social settings and also in educational settings, that there's a really, the approach to raising the next generation is a really therapeutic approach. And this book, Bad Therapy, kind of describes how that may not be helpful. And so, again, that could be controversial a little bit, but I love actually the conversation that Jordan Peterson had on his podcast and on his YouTube channel with the author of Bad Therapy, and how they talk about that, you know, falling off of your bike as a child is not trauma. It's not traumatic. It's, you know, there's value in, hey, get back up on your bike and try again. And that's not an abusive thing, and that's not a horrible thing. And there's something to the mental strength and resilience. I just had my daughter actually read The Way of the Warrior Kid, which is by Jocko Willink, Navy SEAL. And it's about this kid that is, I think, in fifth grade, can't do push-ups, can't swim, doesn't know his multiplication tables, which he should have known that by now. And he's living in all this insecurity. And the story goes on that his uncle, who was a Navy SEAL, comes to live with Jake and his mom, single mom, for the summer. And Jake kind of walks him through building greater mental strength, physical strength, and discipline, talks about how discipline is freedom, and that you don't need a coach to help you do it. You can do it. You can do it. And you can do hard things. You can do difficult things. And that whole book, Way of the Warrior Kid, I think it's a 3-book series, which I'm having my children read and work through, because I believe in helping create an environment that helps build into your children a mental resilience and a mental strength. And I'm kind of talking about raising kids, but for anybody, I don't know that everything that we go through in life requires a counselor or a therapist. We're pretty, culturally today, we're pretty quick to go, hey, you should see a counselor, or hey, you should see a therapist. And I'm not saying I'm against therapy. I'm just saying in the Word of God and in the Church of Jesus Christ and with godly friends and mentors and people in your life, I think there's a lot that we can accomplish. And our minds, we read Romans 12 earlier, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that actually you are stronger than you think you are. And God can do more in you than you think he can before you pull the trigger on, hey, I'm going to go see a counselor. And so again, I'm not saying don't do it. And I'm not saying all secular therapy is bad. Hopefully this makes sense. I'm kind of got on a rabbit trail there, but I appreciate the questions. And here's where we're going to pause. I'm going to open up the River Valley app and read a couple prayer requests. And we're going to pray together over some of the needs of our church. Again, we've got Freedom Encounter. We've got water baptisms. And Pastor Rob, this weekend, if you're listening to it this week, he's going to talk about the 40 days of Jesus between his resurrection and the ascension. You know, what was Jesus doing on earth for those 40 days? And how does that impact our life today? So we're going to read some prayer requests. Here we go. Praying for Laura. Please pray that God would bring miraculous healing to our baby due this summer, who's given a fatal fetal diagnosis. And we're praying for a miracle for that baby. That baby will live and not die. And Lord, praying for Kate. Brother Mark, who suddenly went blind last week, he's having seizures and bouts of agitation and anger. Not sure how long he'll be in the hospital. We're praying for Mark. Carmel writes this: Lord, thank you for your steady hand. Keep me and renew me. Let my husband's heart transform and soften. It breaks my heart that as you change me, he feels triggered and alone. And so the Lord's doing something in Carmel's life, and she's praying for her husband that he would go on that same transformative journey with Jesus. Praying for Wendy: haven't been sleeping well this week, and please pray that I'll have strength and energy for my day today and a good solid night's sleep tonight. Praying for Mishka, pray that for clarity to know God's will and faith to act on it. Many other prayer requests that we're praying through, and want to just re-encourage you, go on the River Valley app today and put in a prayer request. No matter how big or small, we're coming alongside, and some of those are heavy prayer requests. Let's pray together, and actually, as you're listening to this, would you agree with me in prayer? Lord, we thank you that you are moving in our church, that hundreds of people are coming to know you as Lord and Savior, and hundreds more are going to be baptized even this weekend. Lord, we pray for continued life transformation, and I really ask, Lord, for your power to be known in our church and through these prayer requests. And so for the mom that's praying for her baby yet to be born that has a fatal diagnosis, Lord, we pray life over that baby, life over that baby, complete change of the diagnosis, that what was wrong has been righted and everything will be okay. Lord, let that happen. I pray for those that are praying for their husbands or their spouses in general, that you're doing something in their life, and we pray that the spouses would go on that same journey of, Lord, you are real, you are miraculous, you are powerful, and you're able to transform us from the inside out. Lord, I thank you just right now that you're the God that brings peace, and for Wendy, who's not sleeping, Lord, we pray that she would sleep tonight and every night from here on out, Lord, that you would just bring great peace. She would just be known as somebody that falls asleep quick, has incredible dreams, dreams from you, and wakes up every day feeling rested. Lord, I just pray that over her life and every need. You see them all, you know them all, even when we don't ask. You know, and you care, and you're able. You're able to meet every need. Lord, would you move in our church and in every life and in every family? I pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
There's a grace within the space between where hope and logic end, where the power of your mighty hand perfected takes command, and the mystery of things unseen start unfolding right in front of me. breathing. God, I know that you're still working it out. I won't second guess, I'm choosing you again. God, I throw my trust to your hand. When another season passes and I'm waiting on the rain, I'm reminded of your providence in every desert step I take. We surrender to your plan again. Whether here or heaven, I'll sing. 'Cause I know if I'm still breathing, God, I know that you're still working it out. I won't second guess, I'm choosing.
Thanks for listening to the River Valley Podcast. It would help us out a ton if you could rate and review this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and also share it with somebody. We hope that this isn't just for people in our church. We hope that this is people far beyond that, but we know that people in our church maybe don't even know about it yet. We're talking about it on weekends. We're sharing it in announcements, but maybe you're a listener, but someone in your small group isn't, or someone at your campus. So would you send it to them, share it with them so that they can receive this, and then rate it wherever you listen so that more people can find this podcast.
If you have questions about faith, about church, about belief, about theology, about the Bible, please submit your questions. You can find us on Instagram at River Valley MN. You can also email us, finding us on our website, rivervalley.org. Please, we want to hear your questions so that we can continue to answer those or at least respond to them here on the podcast. And again, thank you for listening. We'll see you in church this weekend.